Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The executive budget is simple and it is straightforward. It is not supposed to be traumatic. You know, if the government is working and the government is working well, the budget is supposed to be simple.
And Governor Cuomo's budget director, Robert Megna, joins us now. Mr. Megna, thanks so much for giving us some time on this week of the governor's budget address. Welcome to WNYC.
Well, thanks very much. Pleasure to do it.
Let me ask you first about the big picture of the state's recovery from the financial crisis. Are the state's tax revenues getting back to where they were before this began in earnest in 2007 and 2008?
That's a great question, actually, and a hard one to answer because, you know, the world has structurally changed on Wall Street. You know, in New York, we're very dependent on Wall Street revenues, financial sector revenues, and they haven't really totally recovered from the financial disaster we experienced in 2007 and 8.
Why is that, considering that Wall Street's levels, you know, the Dow and the NASDAQ, are back to the levels of those years?
Well, I think there's a lot going on, and for example, in how Wall Street compensates its employees, and those, you know, if an employee gets compensated with stock that they have to hold for a long period of time before they can cash it in, that will have an effect on how much money the state takes in. I think the other thing we're trying to do is be pretty conservative in how we forecast revenues so that we don't get caught in situations where, you know, we anticipate the economy to be doing much better, the national economy, and we anticipate the Wall Street firms to do very well. And then there's a change in payment pattern or something else, and mm-hmm. we're left, you know, significantly short.
And I guess we see that restructuring in the numbers about how the state is recovering, in that 2 years ago, you and the governor faced a $10 billion state deficit to close when those tax revenues were crashing with the economy. This year, it's just a $1.3 billion deficit, which is a lot to, you know, mom and pop, but I think the governor called it a rounding error in the context of a $142 billion budget. So does that mean that tax revenues and the economy does that mean that government has downsized, that you and the governor have downsized state government to deal with a long-term shrinkage in the tax base?
I think it's a combination of all of those things that you mentioned. I think certainly we have tried to make government run more efficiently, not to cut services necessarily, but to cut waste, and I think we've been pretty successful in doing that. But you know, as you point out, the budget deficit was $10 billion when the governor took office. That was over 12% of our receipts base. This year, with a $1.3 billion deficit, it was only 1.6% of our receipts base. So, yes, government's gotten smaller and more efficient. Our revenue base has improved as the economy has improved. The state economy in terms of employment growth has been growing faster than the national economy, which we see as a positive. So a combination of all those factors, I think, has put our financial situation in much better place since the governor's been in office.
What would you say are the biggest cuts or structural changes that you and the governor have made since taking office? And if I could also ask that as, who's been forced to feel the pain the most? Could you put it in those terms?
Well, I wouldn't put it in terms of who's felt the pain. I think I'd put it in, where did we have to get much more realistic? You know, when the governor took office, Medicaid spending and education spending were growing at double-digit rates, in some cases 12 and 13% a year. That was just unsustainable. As the governor says often, you know, in our private lives, what grows at 12 or 13% a year? So, you know, in terms of going up that fast. So I think the big thing was getting control of those two areas, Medicaid and education, and get them growing at reasonable rates. So this year, for example, we have education growing at 4.4%. We have Medicaid growing at 3.9%. they're still growing. We're providing the services people need, but we've tried to get it, you know, a little bit under control. I think the other area is we've tried to get state agency operations under control. So this year, for example, there's no increase in agency spending from the prior year. And that's been done through a combination of small and large things. You know, I love to give people the example of a small thing, but I think it's indicative of what's going on. We have 28 print shops in the state of New York. We probably don't need 28 print shops, so we consolidate that down to 4. That's a small thing. And then there are much bigger things. Our juvenile justice system was too big and too expensive and wasn't serving the kids well. So we've downsized that, but in a way we've downsized it by getting kids closer to home, closer to their communities, in better programs, and hopefully with better outcomes. So there's hundreds of things like that we've been doing to try to keep agency spending under control, but at the same time also improving how we, you know, deliver services.
Governor Cuomo's budget director, Robert Megna, my guest on WNYC on This Week, when the governor unveiled his budget proposals for the next fiscal year. They now go to the legislature and hopefully will be passed in time for the fiscal year to start on April 1st. Recovery from Sandy begins in earnest in this budget, which assumes the money coming from Congress. Does that federal aid cover it all, or are there more Sandy recovery expenses that will need to come out of New Yorkers' tax bills directly?
Well, we've already been spending for Sandy, right? I mean, we've spent, we believe, our just state costs, and local governments have certainly been spending money. We believe, though, with the federal package that's coming, we'll recover substantially all of our state kind of expenses, and hopefully the local out-of-pocket expenses will also be covered. But the more important thing, and I think what you're getting at, is most of this federal money is going to be directed towards individuals with respect to their housing needs, to small businesses to try to get them back on their feet, and also to mitigation, which the governor's been talking about, which is to make sure that our subway system, our airports, our utilities, our fuel supply is protected against future storms. And that money will largely come from the feds, and it'll come in a multitude of sources, Army Corps of Engineers, grants from the Community Development Block Grant, which you've heard a lot about, mm-hmm. CDBG money, and also the normal FEMA routes of public assistance money, which, you know, some of which will flow through the state budget, some will go directly to authorities and municipalities, and we're still working through exactly how that's going to work.
I read that this budget accounts in some way for Obamacare as it begins to be implemented. Will Obamacare cost New York State money next year?
Well, actually, it's saving us money. The Affordable Care Act, I think what you heard is that because of both Sandy and federal aid, and also because of the Affordable Care Act, the amount of federal money flowing through the state budget is increasing. What we try to measure ourselves on just state operating money, which is just how much we take in and how much we spend as a state, that's the governor's tried to keep that below 2%. That's growing at 1.6% in this budget, proposed in this budget. But because of the Affordable Care Act, New York was always pretty generous with its Medicaid program in providing services for folks who needed it. Now, with the Affordable Care Act, we're going to be getting a higher federal match for some of those services we've been providing for years, either without a federal match at all or with only a 50% match. So that means more federal dollars coming into the state without us having to put up additional money.
So as you cost this out over the coming years, as more and more pieces of Obamacare actually become implemented, do you see this as a money saver for New York over the next 5 years if you're looking down the road that far?
Yeah, and we try to look down the road that far. It's a great question. Yes, we do. We haven't actually booked it as part of our financial plan because, again, we try to be conservative we try not to assume too much, especially when you're implementing a totally new system, because there also could be costs that we're not anticipating. But the likely scenario from the Affordable Care Act in terms of the state budget is that it will benefit us.
Just one other thing on that, if it's not too specific. Do you see savings in charity care expenditures because of the mandate that more people who were uninsured and therefore, you know, the taxpayers having to pay their medical bills when they go to the emergency rooms, that's going to come off the state's books to some degree because those people are actually going to have to go out and buy health insurance?
You know, it's also another good question. I think the answer to that is yes, but I think it's already happening. Because one of the things, the way we've kept costs down in New York already is by trying to get more and more people into managed care situations where they really, so there's more preventative care taking place up front, so that they're not showing up uninsured in the emergency room to begin with. So over the past 2 years, we've been pretty successful at getting more people into that system. But you're right, with the Affordable Care Act and with the health exchange, which is going to go into effect on January 1, 2014, we expect that we'll get even more people into our managed care system, which will certainly cut down on those kinds of expenses.
Before you go, one of the biggest criticisms of the budget is that it allows localities to save next year on public worker pension money by borrowing to meet some of next year's costs and paying more down the road. Critics say, more debt to postpone the inevitable rather than grappling with out-of-control public worker pensions now. Can you explain your rationale very briefly?
Yeah, I think I would take a little bit of exception to the description, because here's what we're trying to do. We put in place a Tier 6 pension plan last year, which over a long period of time will deliver a lot of savings to local governments because it will lower the amount of the employer contribution to the plan. The problem is that's going to take a while until the workforce turns over. So an employer contribution rates could go down quite a bit. They could go down from where they are now in excess of 20% for just retirement and close to 30% for uniformed folks, down in the neighborhood of 5.5% to 6%. But the problem is the municipalities don't get that benefit for 20 or 25 years. So what we're trying to do is say, look, let's put an actuarially sound, stable rate mechanism in place now, and it'll do two things. It'll provide the municipalities some relief over the short run from their high pension costs. It will cost them a little bit more in the out years, but they're getting the benefit of the Tier 6 savings a little bit sooner. And it also provides certainty for their planning. So they know that their pension rates are not going to be ballooning up and down like they have been over the past decade, where they go from virtually mm-hmm. zero to 30%.
So do you see more borrowing as being likely necessary for towns and counties to cover pensions and Sandy rebuilding in the coming fiscal year?
I think Sandy rebuilding we're going to take care of through the federal aid package when it finally gets done. So I don't anticipate a lot of borrowing for that. And again, with respect to pensions, there's no outside borrowing. We believe that this is kind of an actuarially sound thing that can be done within the retirement system itself. We're working with the controller to try to do that in the way that makes the most sense and protects the integrity of the fund. So, again, we're just trying to provide options to localities. And, again, it would be an optional program.
Well, thanks a lot. Robert Megna, Governor Cuomo's budget director, good enough to come on and explain some of the details and also some of the longer-term thinking behind the new budget proposals that came out this week. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up next, for the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, Planned Parenthood plans to stop using the term pro-choice. PPFA President Cecile Richards and your reactions after this.